Hello and welcome to the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Gribble. I've been celebrating students and staff on social media since 2014. I'm in the trenches with you, and I know it's not an easy task. So if you're responsible for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more for a K-12 school district, you are in the right spot. You're going to lean in and learn some simple, actionable tips to help you reach even more people. And that's all going to happen while keeping your sanity. So let's get started. Hey there, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited for you to meet Doug Enders. He is an assistant superintendent for Eastern York School District in Pennsylvania. And he reached out recently and said, hey, I kind of got a unique perspective because I'm not a communications person. I'm in district leadership, and I have helped kind of navigate and facilitate and encourage our social media storytelling on Facebook. And I'd love to talk about it. And so today we do. So if you are out there and you aren't an official communications title, you're not alone. Many people, many schools don't have that. But you're going to learn exactly how they got started in his school district. He's going to talk a little bit about his podcast that he started called The Eastern Edge and how that's really put him into close connection with his staff and what's happening. He's going to break down the steps to get started. So how, if you are like, I don't have a communications role, how would I go about getting started with elevating our social media storytelling when I don't have the communications role? So we're going to talk through those steps. And he's really going to talk about his best tip, which is always remembering the why. They have done a great job of branding. They've done a great job of storytelling in his district, and you're going to learn about it all today. Now, if you have somebody that is in a leadership position within a school that might not have a communications role, would you share this episode with them? That is my ask today. Share this podcast with somebody that needs to hear it, that's in a leadership position, to understand the value and the results of investing a little bit of time into these efforts. It can really do a lot for your district and for yourself and for your staff and for your community. Okay. So share this episode. We would love that. And now let's get to this week's K-12 PR tip. Today's K-12 PR tip is checking out your Facebook page and making sure that you have a username set up. I just noticed this and I helped Doug out. I think he's probably already got this fixed. But see how in the URL when you're on your computer, if it's got facebook.com and then it's got a slash with some references to what your page is called, but then it's got a bunch of numbers behind it. Well, that means you haven't customized your username. And to do that, all you'd need to do on Facebook is go in, log in as your school page up in the upper right-hand corner, and then you're going to go into settings and privacy and settings. Once you get there, it's going to just pop up right to the page of your school district page and the general page settings. It's going to have the name of your page, and then it's going to say username. And if you haven't set a username, it's very easy to go in and set the username. We like to have a username similar to any other channels that you might have. Sometimes the shorter, the better, but you want it to be like your school district or school name so that when people search it, they can find it. But when you have that enabled, you will see that when they go to your page, it's just facebook.com/ whatever your page name, username is, which is New Auburn School. There's not all of those numbers. So most of you are going to have this correct, but there might be a few of you that need to make that change. So that is today's K-12 PR tip. Now let's learn all about the stories that Doug's sharing in his district in Pennsylvania. Doug Enders, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me, Andrea. I appreciate it.
Yes, I am so grateful that you reached out to me. Can you kind of share the story of how you reached out to me via email and why I think, you know, your perspective is pretty unique?
Yeah, so I've been a listener for a while, enjoyed listening to the podcast and definitely like stealing some great ideas and tips that were shared on the podcast. And I just noticed that a lot of the guests that were there, they definitely had that communications title somewhere associated with their name. And I was sure, like, I couldn't be alone in the only district administrator that might be listening to the podcast, and just thought might be interesting to hear a perspective from a small district that maybe can't have all those positions, but also see the value in leveraging social media in some way. And so I kind of reached out with an email out of nowhere to just say, hey, maybe that might be a conversation that might be worth having.
Yeah. And I said, absolutely. I just got another email from somebody today. And then they said, how about, you know, we've got kind of a unique angle and we've got student interns. I'm like, cool. So if you're listening to this podcast and whether you feel like you are still, you know, you're an expert or whether you're just on the road and you have a unique perspective or a unique campaign, reach out because I'm always looking to meet new people that are, you know, really focused on this work of celebrating what's happening in our schools. So, Doug, why don't you share your background and then your role as assistant superintendent there in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so I think the fun part is to have no title whatsoever with no communications. I maybe took a gen ed in college around communications, but like a lot of educators, we were never really schooled in this piece, but it's a huge part of what we do, right? So I'm a graduate of Messiah University in the year 2000. I spent 9 years as a high school social studies teacher before transitioning into elementary administration. That's a whole nother podcast and discussion going from high school to elementary, but was in there for 9 years in two different districts and just recently moved into the assistant super role in the 22-23 school year in the district that I was an elementary principal.
Oh, okay. Awesome. So you've been there for quite a few years.
Yeah. So during my elementary principal, there were 5 years in a different district, my home district where I graduated from. And then I migrated here to Eastern York for the last eight before coming into assistant soup. Yep.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about Eastern York school district.
Yeah, we like to use the phrase small but mighty. We punch above our weight class. So we've got five schools, three elementary, one middle, one high. And we're a district of about 2,500 students and about 20,000 residents in just a small area right alongside the Susquehanna River here, just outside of York City, PA.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your role as assistant superintendent, what you're responsible for, and then we'll talk about how, you know, social media has kind of fit into that.
Yeah. So as an assistant superintendent, I mean, it's all about the CIA, the curriculum, the instruction, and the assessment. So that's a lot of my responsibilities fall under that umbrella for sure. I'm also the director of federal programs. I do a lot of involvement with our Title I program, making sure that we're allocating those funds appropriately. I oversee the professional development for the school district and also the Title IX coordinator. So I have to, you know, all the responsibilities that come along with that. I will say in the district, our school district, we're fortunate enough that we do have a second part of the assistant superintendent position. We have someone called the director of teaching and learning, and he works with me in several of these areas as well.
Okay. So it was about was it 2 years ago that you kind of started taking on social media, like right when you started this role?
So honestly, the big shift for me was when I came to this district as a building principal and we had an active Facebook site. So for me, a lot of my like understanding of how I could leverage this started in that position. And I really felt like, hey, we've got a lot of good stuff to share and how do we get it out there? So it really started for me as a building principal. And then when I transitioned to this position in the district leadership, I kind of saw that there was a void there, that there really wasn't a lot happening at the district level. And so I kind of took that momentum with me to say, how do we get our story out in terms of what we're doing here at Eastern York on specifically Facebook? We do not have Instagram. We're not on TikTok or anything like that. It's really most of our families, if they're on social media, it's Facebook.
Doug, you bring up a great point. I was just talking about this earlier today with the stats of where schools are at. 96% of the schools that responded to a recent survey were on Facebook, 80% Instagram, and then it goes down from there. But I always say, if you can only do one well, do Facebook, because you're going to reach a ton of your people. And if you're only there, students aren't hanging out and probably making comments there, but they still might check some things out if that is where you're celebrating your students and staff, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like you, that celebration, if they know they're being celebrated on Facebook, it gets to them. So mom or dad heard about it, a relative, a teacher, like, hey, you know, we just recently spotlighted some of our artists that were recognized for district level orchestra and band and chorus. We know it gets to the students through that, even though they may not be actively on Facebook. You're right. So, and I'm sure you can understand when you have so many roles in a small district, just like you said, it would be very challenging to do all those things well. So we focus where we feel like our families are, and then we try to build off of that.
Yeah, and you're doing a great job. I was just looking at your page. We will have your Facebook page linked in the show notes. I do have to hang on afterwards because I'm going to tell you how to customize your Facebook
All right.
username. Okay, so
Okay.
we'll actually have a it's got some numbers behind the
It
URL
does.
right now, so
Yeah.
we're going to fix that. But I see a lot of really great branded graphics. Are you doing all of those?
No, our one of our initiatives is modern learning, and we had this phrase Eastern, the Eastern Edge. So you might see like EY Edge or just some of our shields and things. So that's just collaboration with just other talented principals and
Okay.
administrators in our district. So again, we don't have a graphics person. We do have a great community member that is into the graphics piece that recently upgraded some of our pieces to make it more consistent.
Okay.
But a lot of the things you see in terms of the branding and that has all been homegrown here in the district with just, like I said, talented individuals that were willing to put in the time and effort to generate those things.
Okay. And do you do that on Canva? I'm guessing,
Canva
but
is our best friend, as I'm sure I know many guests have talked about that.
yeah.
That was kind of like what really accelerated things for us in terms of our graphics to say, hey, we can create teams and build common templates. And I'd say if you look at our Facebook site, you might see like an evolution of that over time. I'd
Yeah.
say really over the last 3 or 4 months, we've been more consistent with that. Where at the beginning, we were a little bit all over the board in terms of what templates we used and how we advertised or broadcast.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, and I love how you're using a lot of the cutout versions, and then you're in front of some of the graphics. So, great work, and you guys can check that out. So you are at the district level. You think you're small. Remember, Doug, I'm 300 students all in one building, so I'm like 2,500 students is not small, but how are you working and leveraging getting stories from, I think you said, five different buildings? You got three elementaries, a middle school, a high school. So how does your process work to get things onto the Facebook page?
Yeah, it's a great question. So for us, it really started as a district administrator. I'm copied on all building-wide emails that are sent to the staff, right? So
Okay.
if a teacher's saying, hey, just a reminder, these seven students are out for a field trip today. That's where it started for me as assistant soup. I didn't come into this position with an agenda to say, like, this is how this is going to go down, but I'll share certainly like why I find it so valuable. But so for me, it just started with emails. Hey, you're heading on a field trip. Can you snap a photo or two so that I can share that out with the rest of the district? And so anytime I would see those pieces, I would follow up. What I'll
Okay.
tell you is that from the tips on this podcast, hey, instead of that's where it started. But how about like when teachers take time to send stuff proactively, send them some chocolate, send them some cake, send them a little thank you note, right? So I've been doing that more lately, and it happened to work out. We're actually having a weight loss competition in the district. So I'm sabotaging that so that I can win by sending everybody some high calorie, good chocolate food as a way to thank them for it. So it's benefiting me in multiple ways, but that's really how I try to get that word out. And I've heard, like, hey, I got thank you for the thank you letter. And I think the more people talk, the more they realize, hey, this is something that's important to our assistant superintendent, our district leadership, and they really want to share the great things that we're doing in our classrooms.
Yeah, it's amazing how much, and we had a whole podcast episode just on like that handwritten or that little token of a couple chocolates, which I love that it's you're trying to sabotage them for your weight loss.
Absolutely. And I'd say to add to that too, one of the things we do is I've had a couple conversations with our principals in our principal meetings to let them know a little bit about like, hey, this is why I'm doing this. Let's talk about ways that you can support this. I've shared the most popular posts. So like, hey, just to get you thinking, here are the
Yeah.
things that our community seems to appreciate the most. We know they don't appreciate a text graphic. Like they might lie. The views are usually pretty low, right? So
Yeah.
when I'm able to include a photo of a student, and heck, even a smiling photo of a student, like really goes a long way with really getting the word out. So just having those conversations with the team, I think gets them thinking about that at their building level as well.
Okay. So you've got some principals that are, also creating content. Do they send that to you to schedule out, or does everybody, like, do you have a bunch of people on the backside of Facebook that are able to post?
That's a great question. So the building principals are each have a Facebook site for their buildings.
Okay.
And I've heard this shared too, like, some are a little bit more active than others.
Yep.
Just recently kind of had like an aha where Working with our administrative assistant here in the office to say, hey, when I tag a school, just to save them some time and energy, would you mind going on and just resharing it then on that school's site? So we just started that process. And I checked with the principals first, you know, because they have so many things that they're doing throughout the day that, like, I didn't want to create another agenda item, but I want to, like I said, build that momentum and show the value in it. So that's how we're handling it right now. And I think they seem to appreciate it.
Okay. And then do you get some of your content that you share on the district page from them? And are you
Yes.
mainly sharing or do you ever repost?
Yeah, so mostly resharing is what we've done. So
Okay.
I'd say one of our most popular posts this year was our middle school principal caught a student being reunited with his brother who was serving in the military, just came home to surprise him. So just like you said, they tagged me at the district level. I knew it was there. We shared that out. And that was one of the highest posts we had for the calendar year, for sure, just because of all the hits and views.
Okay, awesome. So, in addition to social media, you actually started a district podcast. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so I mentioned that our tagline is this: the Eastern Edge. We're really trying to modernize learning in our classrooms and personalize and meeting kids where they are and just providing instruction that really speaks to time, path, pace, and place. Ways that we know that all kids don't move at the same pace. They all don't have to complete the same assignments to work to proficiency. And so as we've been doing this work for several years, I thought it'd be valuable if we just started more conversations, just like this podcast, where we could try to learn and find out what others are doing in the district. So we called it the Eastern Edge Podcast. We spotlight teachers to kind of share like ways that they're modernizing learning in the classroom. But I'd say like it goes beyond that too. I thought, you know, what a great way to get out to our community and be transparent with some of the things that we're doing. And I'll tell you some of the more popular podcasts where we have a great maintenance guy, very popular in the community, does a lot of stuff with the kids outside of the classroom, and just featuring him, just having a conversation about the things he does for the district was one of our popular episodes as well. So for me, it's just of great value. I get to kind of do a little temperature check of the district. I get to check on the common language. So when teachers are talking about what they're doing, does it align with some of the stuff I've been doing in PD? And it might help me identify some more needs in professional development, or maybe just, we're doing good stuff. Keep up the good work. And just really, it's another way to get me out of the office and into the classrooms and to meet with the teachers and do it. So I was inspired. There's a podcast called The Supercast from Jordan School District. I was at a conference. I heard about it. They talked about all the ways that they did it. And I just said, there's no reason I can't do that in our district. I went on to Amazon, $30, got a microphone, and that's it. I use WeVideo to edit the audio. I get it in with the microphone and we sit down and have those conversations. So I've really enjoyed it. It's done a lot of positives, I think, for just building the culture that we aim to build.
So how often do you record that podcast and put it out?
So initially I said on my Podbean, which is where I host it, that I was shooting for every other week. And I definitely was there for a while. I'd say now probably closer to monthly would be my guess. But it's just a matter of like what's happening, what's hot, and like, can I get out of the office to do some of those things? So I'd say like right now I've got a couple more guests in mind. I'm currently editing one to put out there. So I would say every 2-3 weeks would be the goal.
Okay. And, you know, you got to start somewhere. And some, you know, I've been doing a weekly show, but, you know, this is also my business and my job and all of those things. So don't try to bite off more than you can chew by saying,
Certainly.
Hey, it's going to be every week, even once a month. And where do you put the podcasts out and what's the feedback been from your community?
Yeah. So we, I'll take like a cover photo of the podcast and we'll put it on Facebook to say, here's this week's guest, you know,
okay.
And it'll be a link directly to the podcast. I joke with my staff. The only follower I had for the first couple weeks was my mom. She loved it. My mom thought I was amazing and charismatic and funny. But I'd say that mostly it's helped us to think about this onboarding new employees. So like during our induction, it was able to like, hey, if you want to know all about our story, our journey for modern learning, this is a great place to start. Right. So I'd say like the followers have gone up. The feedback for those that are listening, like it's been positive. I just don't know. Maybe our community is not like all in on podcasts yet, right? Like there's just, it fits a certain lifestyle sometimes. I have a long commute to work, so I enjoy podcasts. It's a nice way just to kind of, you know, debrief from the day and relax and listen to some good conversation. But in terms of like the families, like there are a few families that certainly know that we're doing it. We're putting it out there. It's just a matter of, are they, you know, getting the time and the opportunity to listen in?
Well, I think it's a great holding place, like you said, for your new employees.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, it's so challenging. It probably takes longer to create a 1 minute video than it does for you to create. How long are your podcasts usually?
Yeah, about 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
So
so 15 to 20 minute podcast, it's a longer form, but it probably takes less time than a short video because there's just, it's so hard because people's attention spans
got it.
are different.
Yeah.
But I think in that car mentality, or while they're working out, or they're out for a walk, or whatever, it gives you a new way. And like you said, it's not even so much the community, it's the fact that you get to make some connections, right?
Absolutely. It's
And
there's there
get.
are positives all over the place. It benefits me in my position, helps with the community. One of the roles of assistant superintendent or all district leadership is we have to be about parent family engagement. And so for us, this is another medium, another form that we're just trying to communicate in for those that, like I said, enjoy that opportunity to listen. It's there for the taking. And hopefully over time, the more we do this, the more we have, an increase in our followers and listeners.
I love it. How long have you? I really like the tagline, the Eastern Edge. When did that get developed?
I think that started with our superintendent who's been here for about 5 years now. So that was just as we were looking to talk about modernizing learning and changing what we do in the classroom because we're the Golden Knights. We kind of came up with we started talking about different ideas like the edge of a sword, and like trying to figure out what it was that we wanted. We wanted to give our students an edge by doing these things and providing, school to work experiences and college pathways. We were giving our students an edge moving into the future. So that's where that evolved, and we continue to come back to it over the last several years.
Yeah, it's great, very catchy, and it just resonates well with people, as well. So you told me one of your biggest struggles is to share the story with those that are not on Facebook.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
tell me a little bit about that.
So that goes back to it started again when I was a building principal. So, we're spending a lot of time and energy to put these things out here to provide transparency, to highlight the good stuff. But like to our point, not everybody's actively on Facebook, and that's fine. And so it's, I found that some of the families that maybe struggled to have a little grace for us if we made a mistake, if we didn't communicate well, if we, didn't hit that expectation. That family that's not on Facebook, they are less likely to extend that grace is kind of what I was finding. So what are ways that we can reach out and communicate with them? And we as a this same thought process came into when I moved in as a district leader. So for us, we just adopted this year a K-12 platform for communicating. And so the vision was, as I post on this, we can send it to Facebook. And so like we're knocking two birds out with one stone. So everybody can be like a Facebook follower.
Yeah.
I will tell you that has come with growing pain. So, pros and cons to it. I learned that you can over communicate. You really can. You can, what people love to see on Facebook may not want to be what they're seeing as text messages on their phones and emails to their inbox, if that makes sense. So,
Yeah.
it certainly has been a growing process for us. But the goal in all of this is to, again, communicate effectively with our families. What are ways that they can know what's going on? And the other piece to it too is just wanting our teachers to feel supported. We know like the right now it just seems like education, there's a lot of early retirements and what seems to be early burnout. And I feel like one thing I need to be able to do in this role, and I know that my superintendent would agree, is like you support the administrators, you support the teachers, you let them know we see you, we know you're making a difference. Highlight those pieces, get the word out, so that they can feel that support and then transfer that support to their families and students as well.
Yeah. Can I ask what platform you're using?
Yeah, we're using Blooms,
Okay.
and again, this is our first year,
Yeah.
it just we just have had our growing pains with syncing up with our student database, setting
Yeah.
preferences to the way that the parents would like them. There's several features about it that we like. It just hasn't played out the way we were hoping so far. So.
Yeah, and I've heard of that. I'm most familiar with the platform called Parent Square. That I think plays in that same realm. But you're right. I mean, every type of communication, there is such a thing as too much communication, especially when it's coming to your text messages,
You
right?
got it.
So it's kind of picking the right tool for
Yeah.
the message that you need to send. You don't want to be waking somebody up with a text message at 10 p.m. telling them about a change in schedule that's 3 weeks out or something,
Right. Hey, it's
So.
National Assistant Principal Month. They didn't, I mean, I love my principals, but they did not love that late night text that they get that. So I will tell you the one way I've evolved with it is now, this last time I took screenshots from our Facebook that were just kind of popular, combined them into one PDF and just said, if you'd love to see this past month's highlights on social media and Facebook, here they are. I think that's the way I'm going to keep going for a while, is just focus on that so that my communication isn't overwhelming when the ones that are most important from their classroom teacher and their building principals, I'm not taking away from that. And I think, you know, a monthly message with a summary of social media posts that I think would be helpful.
Yeah. So, I'd just like to ask. So you're in a district of about 2,500. Nobody officially has the communications hat.
Yeah.
If somebody is like, I want to get started in this, but I really don't know where to get started, could you kind of walk us through maybe the main steps? And I know I didn't prompt you with this, so I'm sorry, but
No, that's okay.
I'm sure you know like
Yeah.
how you started, and obviously it evolves, and it's going to continue to evolve. But what
Yeah.
would be those steps that you would tell that district administrator, that admin that says, I really want to get this started, so where should I start?
Yeah, so the ironic thing in all of this is I do not have a personal Facebook account. I do not have a Twitter account, X account. I don't have Instagram. I mean, full disclosure, like I'm not the biggest fan of social media.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pros and cons, and I know you'd agree with that.
Yes.
But what we mentioned earlier on is we know where our parents are. This is where most of our parents are. And if we're trying to communicate effectively, how do we run to that, right? So for me, I share that to say, for me, my starting point was starting point zero. Like I didn't have a lot of experience. So one of the things, and this is just something I've heard on your podcast a lot, was just like checking out what everybody else is doing. Creep on those pages. Just go and see. Like, you know, I learned about, you know, National Custodian Day and how certain districts present that or represent that, right?
Yep.
What are some of the videos that are being watched? Are they short and sweet? You know, and what are they highlighting? How are they bringing student work? Or featuring student work when they make some of these social media posts. So for me, it was just a matter of like really zoning in and watching what other districts were doing to see what I liked and what I thought was doable on my end. I think that's the best way to do it, is just to have that approach that you're willing to see what others are doing and to take from it. And
Yeah.
this podcast has been huge, right? I mean, that's what it was for me, is like, I didn't even think so. There's a couple districts that you've featured that, like, if they look on, they'll see that Eastern New York School District is a follower, because I'm always checking my feed to see what are they up to, what's Liberty up to, what are they doing over there. Like, I want to see what they're posting and seeing if some of those things are something that would be good fit for us.
Yeah, there's always ideas that you can get from everybody else. And I guess I love that you are on Facebook and you haven't gone beyond that, and that's totally fine. That's a really good piece of advice. But the other thing is Doug, you didn't have it all figured out when you started.
No.
You just started, right?
That's
Like
right.
you just kind of had to do it. So that's, I think, a word to the wise. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, I mean, we make I make I just recently finished my dissertation in growth mindset. So we love mistakes, and I love learning from mistakes, and I've made several along the way. And you're right, you just kind of got to get out there. Like for me right now, what am I trying to get out there and do? Like, I know the value of Facebook Reels and Instagram Reels. My wife's a big fan of the Instagram Reels. She always loved to show me that good, you know, golden doodle post or whatever it might be. So I'm trying to like figure out how to incorporate that into our Facebook post, because I know that they have that feature. And I just know that those short, sweet hits are what you get the most views out of. If it's a 5-minute video, you're going to lose them, you know, pretty quickly. So yeah, you're right. Get out there and try it. I know one of the mistakes that we made was when I took this position at the district level, we had our X feed from all the buildings from our athletics department. Like, it was all going to our Facebook site. And so it
Okay.
wasn't coordinated. And so I would see, is like, oh man, I just had a great post. I can't wait to hear how families think about this kid that we're spotlighting. And all of a sudden, we'd get like a post right on top of that 2 minutes later of an inspirational speech from Prime Deion Sanders talking to his kids that our athletics department wanted to highlight. And it's like, hey, we got to coordinate better on that. So ultimately, we just removed that feed. We didn't like, they have their own account on Twitter that they use. But for us, I wanted to be able to coordinate and say, let's make sure that we're featuring what we want to feature at the time that we know most of our families are on our Facebook account. And based on the analytics that I looked at, that's typically those evening hours. So that 6, 7, 8 o'clock, that's when most of our people are checking things out, and maybe right away in the morning before they go to work.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, you're gonna make mistakes, and I love that your dissertation was on growth mindset. So, we've all got to be open for that and fail faster, right?
That's right. And I also have to tell everyone to make sure you know your no photos list. You got to know that. So as a district leader, that was a big piece for me. Is I go into a building and I'm doing some quick videos or snapshots, just check with the secretaries. I'll throw a video real quick to them and say, "Hey, I was thinking about post this. Do you see anybody here that you know is on a no photo list so that we're not sharing that out?" Just to make sure that we're doing that right. So we didn't have any major catastrophes. We had some near misses, and I had to quickly learn, like, hey, you got to be careful with that and make sure that we're sharing with permission.
And do you have very few on that do not photo list or?
I'd say like each elementary school, I'd say that we typically have 7 or 8 students.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause we just went through it on in our small little district and you know that some that had signed it 'cause it's an opt out, they signed it, they didn't realize it. So once we made phone calls, we were able to whittle it down to one student. So that was really positive, especially now that we're using student interns that are going out and getting pictures too. So oh my gosh, this has been so helpful. So what would you say, Doug, would be your best social media tip?
I thought about that a little bit, and I just go back to the why. I think that's the important part for us, is that I know this takes time away from things that I have to do, and I think that's the part that I'm sure a lot of, district administrators or building administrators would connect with. There's a lot on everyone's plate. And so for me, it's I have to go back to, well, why am I taking the time out of my day to do this? And I alluded to that earlier, which is I for me, like I feel like I benefit when I'm raising others up. When I know that, like, this teacher's doing good stuff. And you know this too. Teachers by nature, many of them are very humble. They don't want to share a lot of stuff. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. And it's I feel like we're doing good things for our school and our kids when our teachers feel the support from us. So it's like, no, you are doing good things. I want to, even if it's just getting that kid to smile during the day, and we happen to get a photo of them, smiling in a small group as they're working with you. We've got to put those things out there to share the good stuff that's happening so that they feel they're supported, so that they can then support the kids and family. And that's the big piece. And I think our district leadership, our superintendent, just does a wonderful job saying about the importance of putting family first and, like, taking care of each other, so that that our teachers can then relay that on to those that they work with. If they're under high anxiety, high stress, and they don't feel support, that gets carried over into other areas of their life. So for me, the biggest thing is, like, know why you're doing it, so that when you feel frustrated sometimes, like, I don't know if I can get to that, which certainly there are days that's the case, right? But being able to then just step back and say, I know this is going to help that teacher, that building, it's going to build that positive momentum that we're looking for.
And it really extends the classroom. I know we're both big fans of Joe Sanfilippo, and it's just like the authentic moment is a superintendent being in with a teacher, being in with the students and being able to make that connection. But when you can extend that out and now all of a sudden your community gets to see that as well. I mean, that's huge va validation for the staff member and the families get that get to see it, and you know the entire community. I was just sharing a webinar today that showed what a group of 500 people look like. It's big. It's a huge little audience there, and it's like, gosh, if we through the this little phone can snap these pictures and we can get these stories and images and moments out to more of our community, it's going to help everybody.
I agree with you, and I think it just sends powerful message. And like I said, I've seen that they're let's say you get an email that's has a concern from a parent, and it's refreshing to me to see, they might put something in writing, like, I know the district is doing good things. I know that they're trying to be relationship centered in what they do. Like, I appreciate that. Like, yes, there's a concern here, we're going to address it, but I certainly appreciate the fact that, like, it seems like some of those messages are getting through, which is ultimately our goal, that's happening. And so I did want to say too, the other big thing is, if you do get, like, those negative comments on social media, because sometimes you have to hold your breath. One of our most popular posts was that two of our schools do not have air conditioning. We had to send the kids home early because the heat was so oppressive in September. That was one of our most popular posts, right? And I remember, like, some of the comments that were on there, just in terms of frustration that there's not climate control. We totally understand. That's why we were working to get another building. But I'll tell you what sends a good, powerful message too, is when you see those comments. Number one, I know Joe Sanfilippo told me you bury those by posting positive stuff above that so that those go lower down the feed. But the second thing is picking up the phone and having a conversation with that family. Hey, I saw you comment on this. I understand your frustration. I just want to share a few things that we're doing to address this, or how we're going to address this in the future. Every time I've done that, the parents have always gotten kind of a wow, like a wow moment, like, whoa, like you saw that and now you're calling me, not to go on the attack, but to have a conversation, right? Like, hey, let's talk about this and where we are as a district, just to have those conversations.
Yeah, great opportunities. And social media is meant to be social. And so
That's
it
right.
opens the great opportunities and the challenges as well. So, Doug, you've got a lot of people out there now that are going to want to be connected to you. What's the best way to stay connected?
Yeah, so because I'm so like not social media, the
Right.
best way is just an email address. So denders@easternyork.net is a great way to get in contact.
Okay, and we'll have that linked up in the show notes as well. Good job. I mean, congratulations on all of the work that you've been doing. Take a look at their Facebook page. You're going to be wowed by all of the stories, the consistent branding that you've got, a lot of great ideas, and I have a feeling some of the listeners might start following you now, Doug, for some great ideas. So keep up
Awesome.
the great work.
Yeah, thank you, Andrea. Thanks for the time and thanks for the conversation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We will see you guys all back here next week. I think next week, Jill from Class Intercom, we're going to be talking a little bit about student contributors. So make sure to come back and listen to that. And in the meantime, guys, just keep telling those stories. Bye-bye. I want to let you in on a little secret. Creating this podcast is my favorite thing to do. Now, I have a pretty amazing job all around, but podcasting is my happy place. Of course, podcasting doesn't pay the bills, and I have six kids, remember? So I wanted to remind you of the three ways I help schools through my paid programs. Number one, and most popular, is my membership group. You can join my exclusive virtual community designed for school social media managers. It offers a treasure trove of resources, including Canva templates, daily support, live weekly training sessions, and access to a vast library of webinars. You guys, with over 400 schools across the country already benefiting from this vibrant community, you'll gain insights and tools that can supercharge your school's social media presence. Number two way that I serve schools is speaking. I love to share my passion for social media, and I do this with communication organizations across the country and school districts. You know, my keynotes really deliver actionable tips and strategies that can be implemented immediately, ensuring that your school stays ahead of the communication curve. And last, number three, my team and I, we actually do social media management for schools. So many school districts struggle to stay consistent on social media, and that's due to a lack of dedicated communication personnel. So that's where we come in. Our team will partner with your school district to manage your Facebook and Instagram accounts, and we ensure a consistent flow of compelling stories that come directly from your staff. That's it. If you are interested in getting more details on number one, the membership group, number two, speaking, number three, the social media management, hop on over to my website, socialschool4edu.com. And then until next time, keep telling those stories.